entitled God's Tabernacle. We've been looking.
Now, at the tabernacle, or as I've called it, the portable palace of God that was constructed in the Sinai wilderness when the people of God traveled away from Egypt and as they traveled to the promised land of Canaan. It was here at this tabernacle or this holy tent. This is the place where God met with his people in a very special and powerful way. Now, last week we began to examine the first division of the tabernacle compound. You guys remember what the first division was called? It was the outer court. Remember, although the outer court was not part of the actual tabernacle, it was still inside the fence surrounding the tabernacle, and therefore it was still holy and sacred ground. It was still God's special property. So think of the outer court like God's front lawn, which led to his holy house. Well, in this front lawn, there were furniture placed upon it. And last week, we examined the first piece of furniture in the outer court, which was called the altar of sacrifice. Or as we see through the book of Exodus, it's called the altar of the burnt offerings. It was placed at the entrance gate into the tabernacle compound. The very first thing an Israelite would see when he entered into the tabernacle compound, when he went through that screen, was this great, fiery, brazen altar. We saw that a sacrifice had to be made if one was to draw near to God and expect God to draw near to him. And we also saw how the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross put out that fire of God's wrath and ushered us into the very presence of God. So we saw that last week. We saw what the altar of sacrifice was. But tonight I want us to examine the second piece of furniture that was on God's front lawn. And it was the basin of cleansing. But before we actually look at it in more detail, let's pray and ask God to bless our time together. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would mightily bless us this evening as we look at this special dwelling place of yours in the Old Testament. We pray that we would learn from the divisions and the contents and the furniture within these divisions much about your holiness and much about our great Savior, Jesus Christ. So bless me as I come to preach this message. Bless your people. Open up their ears that the Word of God would go forth and have a powerful effect in their hearts, that we would love Jesus Christ more than we ever have before. We ask this in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's look at the basin of cleansing. I wish I would have had the PowerPoint up this week, but I don't. But we're just looking at one piece of furniture, and it's the basin of cleansing. So as you move from the east to the west in this tabernacle compound, the basin of cleansing was the second and the last piece of furniture in the outer court of the tabernacle. It was actually closer to the actual tabernacle than the altar of sacrifice, because we're told at least three times in the book of Leviticus that the basin was to be placed between the tabernacle, or between the tent of meeting, and the altar of sacrifice. So you've got the screen, you've got the altar of sacrifice, then you have this basin of cleansing, then you have the actual tabernacle. The first part of it's called the holy place. So this is the second piece of furniture, the last piece of furniture in this big open outer court. Well, in the time remaining, I want to say five things about this basin, and then I just want to end with one or two applications. So first, let's look at the directions for the basin of cleansing. The directions for making this bronze basin and its stand are found in Exodus 30, verses 17 through 21. So if you want to turn with me there, Exodus 30, verses 17 to 31. So here are the directions that the Lord gives concerning how to build this bronze basin. The Lord said to Moses, You shall also make a basin of bronze with its stand of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it with which Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet. When they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water, so that they may not die. They shall wash their hands and their feet, so that they may not die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout their generations. So there you have it. There are the directions. Well, secondly, let's look at its design in a little bit more detail. This basin or this laver was designed as a big, giant bowl used to wash things in. As Deacon Dave told me about a week or so ago, he wanted you guys to think of this thing like a big bird bath, except obviously not for birds, but for people. Or, you know, if any of you guys have been to the new Papa Grandes off of 54 Highway, they have these big basins to wash your hands in. Well, think of this big bronze basin as an enlarged version of those basins you can wash your hands in at that Mexican restaurant. We're also told that this altar or this basin was made of bronze, just like the altar of sacrifice. According to Exodus 38, verse 8, this basin and its stand were made of bronze mirrors from the ministering women who ministered in the entrance of the tent of meeting. It's a very interesting fact. There were women who were standing at the entrance gate into the tabernacle compound ministering to the Lord. And we saw this morning there were women ministering to the human tent of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. So there's always women around the special dwelling places of God. But these women had these bronze expensive mirrors, and they sacrificed these mirrors in order for the bronze basin to be constructed. Well, although no dimensions for the bronze basin are given, we do have to assume it was big enough for every priest to wash in, and it was possibly big enough for the parts of certain animals to be rinsed off before they were offered up as a burnt offering. So again, this is a big, large basin put right before the actual tabernacle for the priest to wash in. Well, that moves me to my third point, which is its purpose. What was the purpose of this big bronze basin? Well, the purpose of this basin was for cleansing. This bronze basin was made so that the priests could wash themselves before they ministered in the tabernacle compound. Water was to be put into this big, large laver, this big bronze basin, and the Levite priest who would serve in the holy place or who would minister at the altar of sacrifice would first wash their hands and feet in it. Now, it's interesting to note that these men, these Levite priests, were initially washed with water as part of their consecration and ordination as priests. So if you're still, you still have your Bibles open in the book of Leviticus, or Exodus, turn to Exodus 29 with me. They were first initially washed from head to toe with pure water in order to set them apart, consecrate them as servants in the tabernacle. Exodus 29, verse 1 and verse 4 says this: "Now this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water." We're told again in Exodus 40, verse 12, "Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and shall wash them with water." And again in Leviticus 8, verse 6, it says, "And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water." Again, this was to set these people apart so they could enter into the holy place and they could offer up sacrifices at the great brazen altar. But this initial washing that set them apart as priests was only the beginning of many washings to come. The priests who served in the holy place and at the altar of sacrifice needed to continually wash themselves with water from this bronze basin so that they could remain as priests. So the priests were busy washing themselves all the time. But here's the million-dollar question. Why? Why did they need to wash themselves? Were they to wash themselves simply for health purposes? Did God command them to wash their hands and their feet in order to sanitize themselves and protect themselves from various diseases before handling the blood and organs of dead animals? Is that why God wanted them to wash in this great bronze altar? Or were they to wash themselves so God's house would be kept nice and neat and clean? Did God order them to wash their hands and feet so that the furniture and utensils in his house would be free from dirt and smug marks from the priest's dirty hands? Is that why? Well, I think there could be some truth to all of those things, but I think cleanliness and tidiness were not the real reasons why the priests needed to wash their hands and feet before they ministered before the Lord. The real reason for these outward washings of the hands and the feet were because they pointed to inward spiritual realities. In other words, they were highly symbolic. They represented a greater reality than simply having clean hands and clean feet. Washing, I think, the hands and feet represented, symbolized, pictured purity and holiness of heart. It symbolized the washing away of sin and filth and defilement and cleansing the person on the inside. And we see this in various scriptures. We have outward cleansing basically telling us about an inward renewal and cleansing in the Old Testament. The first place is Psalm 26, verses 6 through 7. If you guys want to turn there with me, Psalm 26, verses 6 through 7. The psalmist says, I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. So he's not just washing his hands in water, but he's washing his hands in innocence, purity, holiness of heart. This is what the washing symbolizes. Another place is Psalm 73, verse 13. I'll just read this. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. There you go. The clean heart and the innocent hands, they go together. Another place is Isaiah 1, verses 15 through 17. When the Lord says, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. So again, it's not just the command to wash dirt and defilement and blood off of your body. God is calling for something much greater than that. It's to wash the sin off the heart. And so therefore, these continual washings by the priests symbolize that these priests needed to be holy. They're the servants of the living God. And if they're going to serve in God's tabernacle, they needed to have a holy heart. They needed to have a heart that was cleansed of sin. So what God was commanding the priests to do outwardly in their flesh served as a picture of what God expected the priests to do inwardly to their hearts. Their actions, their way of life needed to be aligned with the holy word of God. A priest needed to be a holy, upright, godly servant of the Lord. His hands needed to be clean because he was touching holy things. His feet needed to be clean because he was walking on holy ground. And most importantly, his heart needed to be clean because in all these things he was serving the holy God. So that was the purpose. Purpose was to show that these priests were to be the most holy men in all of Israel. They were the ones responsible for regulating, as Brother Rex said, for regulating the worship of God, which was the most important thing for the Israelites, that they were to worship God correctly. So that was the purpose. Well, fourthly, let's look at it, its necessity. You could ask yourself the question, was this optional for the priests in the Old Testament to wash themselves in this bronze altar or bronze basin? Well, no, it was not optional for priests to wash themselves in this basin. They didn't have the right to choose whether or not they would cleanse themselves before they began their priestly work in the tabernacle. No, washing in this bronze altar was absolutely necessary if the priests wanted first to remain as priests, but more importantly, if they wanted to remain alive. Yes, if the priests didn't wash themselves in this basin, they would die because of their impurities. Not properly being washed before serving the holy and awesome God in the tabernacle or at the altar of sacrifice was a crime punished by death. And we read about that in Exodus chapter 30. So they were commanded by God to do this all the time for all time. Or as Exodus 30 verse 21 says, it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout their generations. So this was a necessary thing. It was not optional for them to wash. And I think this teaches us that the thrice holy God, God is holy, 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 the thrice holy God is not to be approached and served casually or nilly-willy. Wherever God chooses to dwell and wherever God chooses to make his name known, there are requirements that must be met in order to approach him and serve him. And one of the requirements here was that if you wanted to be a priest and serve the Lord, you had to wash yourself in this large bowl positioned right before the tabernacle, right before the special presence of God. You know, it's interesting when you study the special dwelling places of God in the Bible, there's always usually a big bowl for washing before you can actually go into the holy place and serve him and not be destroyed. We see here in the tabernacle, you have this bronze basin to wash in before you went into the holy place. If you look at the temple, in front of the temple, there was this thing called the sea of cast metal, which sat on 12 oxen. 1 Kings chapter 7 tells us this. And there's actually 10 bronze basins put there as well for the priests to wash in. But even more than that, in the throne room of God in heaven, we see that there's something like a sea of glass as clear as crystal before the throne of God. I think a place where priests, heavenly priests, wash themselves before they actually enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, what's the commonality between all these places? Well, if you want to approach God as a priest, you have to be purified first. You have to wash yourself before you serve the Lord, before you serve God in his tabernacle, before you serve God in his temple, before you serve God in his throne room. You have to be cleansed. You have to be purified. In the language of Psalm 23, verses 3 through 4, you can only ascend the hill of the Lord, and you can only stand in his holy place and minister there if you have clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. Well, this leads me to my final point concerning the bronze basin, and that is its fulfillment. So we've seen the directions, we've seen the design of it, we've seen the purpose for it, we've seen the necessity for it, and then fifthly and finally, let's see the fulfillment of this great bronze basin. Now, how is this basin fulfilled in the new covenant? That's the most important question for us as Christians. As we see this basin, we see that priests need to wash in it, we see the importance of it in the tabernacle, what's its importance in the church of Jesus Christ? How do we see it being used in the spiritual temple of God, which is the church of Jesus Christ? Well, just take a minute to think with me real quick and think of everything that I've said so far. Let's summarize basically the importance of the bronze basin. The bronze basin was placed in the outer court of the tabernacle in order for priests to wash in it and cleanse themselves in it, so that they would be authorized to serve in God's dwelling place and handle holy things without dying. This washing enabled them to offer up sacrifices to God and enter into the holy place, and for the high priest, that then allowed him to enter into the most holy place once a year. So this washing was key for them to fulfill their calling as priests. Without it, they were dead men. But with it, they were servants of God. Now in the New Testament then, is there a washing that takes place to enable Christians to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God and to enter into His special dwelling place without dying? Is there something that we are to wash ourselves in as New Testament priests in order to serve and worship God without having to face His utter wrath and judgment against us for our impurities of our hearts? Well, yes, in fact, there is something that we are to wash ourselves in. The New Testament priests, which are all of us, we're the priesthood of believers. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a priest unto God. This is one of the benefits and blessings of being a Christian. You have this free, unlimited access to God where you can serve Him day and night in His temple. So as New Testament priests, we are also called to regularly wash ourselves in a basin in order to have the right to serve God. But that basin obviously is not physical, because if it was, we would have one here in this church building right now. And the liquid in this basin is not water. It's a basin full of blood. The only kind of washing that cleanses us of our sins and gives us the right to bring spiritual sacrifices to the Lord and serve in His temple day and night as priests, that washing is with the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Initially at regeneration, when God changes our heart, when God makes things new for us, we are bathed and washed from head to toe in the blood of the Lamb of God by the working of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God applies everything that Jesus did on the cross to us. And so we are bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ when God touches our heart and makes us new. The Holy Spirit is poured out on us, and we are once and for all set apart as priests unto God and the laver of God's transforming grace. This was a one-time action, never to be repeated again. Just like it was when the priests were washed during their ordination service. That's why I pointed you to those passages. The priests were set apart and they were washed one time from head to toe, a full body washing in order to make them priests in the Old Testament. Well, we have a greater washing, and that washing is with the blood of the Lamb of God. I think Revelation 1, 5 through 6 connects the purifying blood of Christ to our priestly service to God when it states this: "To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So Jesus Christ has freed us from our sins by His blood, but He's also done something much more. He's made us a kingdom. He's made us priests to His God and Father by His shed blood. So we've been set free from our sins, and we've been made priests to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. But that was a one-time action. But remember, the priest's washings weren't done away with after the very first one. That was just started the whole chain and cycle of washings after that. After their full body washing, they had to continually wash their hands and feet in the basin in order to continue as priests. And I think in some ways, it's the same for us as New Testament priests. As priests to God, we are daily called to wash ourselves and cleanse ourselves and purify ourselves in the blood of the Lamb of God. We need continual cleansing and continual purification as God's people. And that alone is found in Jesus Christ. And I want to show you a passage that at least teaches us the fact that we have been washed completely from our sins, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ still tells us that we need our feet washed, a continual washing in order to serve Him and be His disciples. So turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I want to read verses 1 through 11. Now, I don't know if Jesus was alluding to the ordination and the continual consecration of the Levitical priests in this passage. I'm not sure about that. But I do think there are some interesting connections between what was said of Old Testament priests and what Jesus says concerning his disciples and New Testament priests. So follow along with me now as I read the first 11 verses. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." Now, we know Jesus later on says that he's washed the disciples' feet as a great example for the disciples to do to other Christians. But I think he's teaching his disciples a really important point here. As first, they've been completely cleansed. Christians are completely clean because the blood of Christ has washed away all of their sins. Jesus says in verse 10 that we are bathed and we are completely clean. We've been sufficiently bathed from head to toe in the blood of the Lamb. Our bodies have been purified once and for all. In the language of the Apostle Paul, we were washed and sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Or in the language of Ezekiel, God sprinkled clean water on us and cleansed us from all our filthiness and from all our idols. It's a fact that every Christian has a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that wants to obey all the commandments of the Lord, a heart of holiness, a clean, pure heart before the Lord. So Jesus is teaching his disciples that you are completely clean. But he's also teaching them something else. He also says in verse 10 that we as Christians need our feet washed. We as New Testament priests still need our hands and feet to be daily scrubbed clean. There's something called remaining sin, which continues to corrupt and defile our hearts. Yes, our hearts have been changed. Yes, we have been given a new nature by Jesus Christ. Yes, we are new men and new women in the Lord. But we still defile ourselves for the actions we take. And we still dirty ourselves up as we walk through this wicked world. In this life, sin is still smeared across the tablets of every Christian's heart. So we need a cleansing agent. We need a cleansing agent that will continually wipe away and wash away and remove any spot or stain or wrinkle of sin that's found within us. And brothers and sisters, we know that the blood of Jesus Christ does this. According to 1 John 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. According to Hebrews 9, 14, the blood of Christ purifies our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. According to Psalm 51, 7, the blood of Jesus washes us and makes us whiter than snow. And according to Zechariah 13, verse 1, the blood of Jesus fills the fountain that is open for God's people to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. Well, I hope you see how much you need the blood of Jesus Christ. We need the blood always, not occasionally, not at the very beginning of the Christian life. We need the blood of Jesus Christ always. We need it applied to us by the Spirit of God in regeneration, which first sets us apart as priests unto God. And we need the blood of Christ continually applied to us to remain in our position as priests before Him. So if we want to be progressively sanctified, if we want to present ourselves as a spiritual offering and a spiritual sacrifice to the Lord, if we want to serve in God's dwelling place, we must continually wash our hearts in the blood of the Lamb of God for ongoing forgiveness of sin and ongoing strength of grace to be able to be that priest to serve our Lord. I just want to draw two small applications off of that. Because we need the blood of Jesus, first off, don't forget to go to that basin every day and wash yourself in the blood. It's easy to neglect it. It's easy to treat it as a light thing because we have so many other things to do in our lives. But brothers and sisters, this is the most important thing that we can ever do in our lives every day that we wake up. We cannot see it as optional. We have to see it as the most important thing in life. So brother and sister in Christ, go to Christ crucified every day. Run to the cross. Wash yourself in this basin of blood. You know, there should never be a point in the Christian life where we get past the gospel to supposedly move on to bigger and better things. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the biggest and the best thing in our lives. The work of Jesus Christ is what makes us servants of the living God. It's not by our own obedience that God sees us and says, therefore, I'm going to make this man a priest. No, it is the priestly work of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is His blood that He shed upon the tree that fills that great basin so that we can wash ourselves in it and be clean before the Lord forevermore. We can't tear down the basin and pour the blood out on the ground and act like we don't need it anymore as Christians. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious to Christians from day one on into eternity. It's the very song that we will sing in glory as we gather around the throne of God. It's all about the blood that's in that basin. We'll sing, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Revelation 5, 9 through 10. So while we serve God on earth, let us continually confess and sing to the Lord, "I need thee, precious Jesus, for I am full of sin. My soul is dark and guilty, my spirit dead within. I need the cleansing fountain where I can always flee, the blood of Christ most precious, the sinner's perfect plea." And sinner, this is your perfect plea before the Lord. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, this is what you need to wash yourself in order to be saved. You can't serve God and you can't please God unless you first plunge yourself beneath the blood of Jesus Christ. You will die in your sins if your soul is not covered in this blood. You need to say, "Wash me, Savior, or I die." You have no share, as Jesus taught in John 13, you have no share with Jesus Christ if you are not washed in His blood. You have to be completely clean by the blood of the Lamb of God in order to be His disciple, His servant, and His priest. So trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. Look to it. Bathe yourself in it. And by doing so, you can become a servant of the living God. By doing so, you can know the sheer joy of drawing near to God in His holy habitation. Well, secondly, because we need the blood of Jesus Christ, brother and sister, be confident that this blood cleanses you and makes you whole. This blood is what allows you access into the Holy of Holies. This blood allows you to serve God day and night. This blood gives you access into God's glorious presence to worship Him and please Him all the days of your life. No physical water could do this. No water of baptism could do this. We need the blood of the Lamb of God to do this for us. You know, all the various washings in the Old Testament could could only cleanse the flesh. It could only make people outwardly clean and outwardly acceptable before God. And so the repetition of these washings every single day showed that water couldn't cleanse the heart. And that is exactly what God required of his servants, a clean heart. He wanted their hearts to be cleansed from sin. He wanted them to be inwardly holy as he is holy. But the blood of Jesus Christ does what the water in the bronze basin could never do. It takes away sins. It cleanses the conscience. It perfects us before God. It is the only cleansing agent that removes our iniquities. The blood of Jesus Christ purifies our bodies and souls and presents us without spot or stain or wrinkle before God. So, brother and sister, knowing this and embracing this should give us strong confidence to draw near to God. Morning and evening, day and night, forever and ever without end, we have access into the special presence of God. That new and living way has been opened up by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what we're told in the book of Hebrews. Brother Rex opened with this scripture, and I'm going to end my sermon with this scripture because it's that important. It's the blood in this basin that we wash ourselves in that ushers us in to the Holy of Holies. So I want to end the sermon with these glorious words from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's pray together.